All right, hello and welcome to the Carson Anderson program. I'm Doug Carson. That is Scott the Gator Anderson. Hello, Scott Anderson. How are you?
I'm fine, Doug. That's how good. Are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Back refreshed from a weekend up north.
How was it?
It was elite.
Elite?
It was elite.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got up there on Wednesday night?
Wednesday night. And with family and some of my kids' friends, and went out and watched USA Soccer take care of business against Bosnia-Herzegovina. And then golfed a little on Saturday. Took the wife shopping, went to some bars and restaurants. I golfed a little bit on Thursday, I should say, not Saturday. Felt like a Saturday.
Just one round of golf?
Just one round of golf, yep. There was others. It came under consideration, but...
Where'd you play?
Played Boyne Highlands, the Arthur Hills.
Oh, that's your favorite.
It is. Of the courses I can get on up there, it's not my favorite. It was for a long time, but I still think it's highway.
Well, when you said you had an elite weekend, if you're going to include golf on it, if you golfed Arthur Hills, I would say that's part of being an elite weekend. Yep. Yeah.
Summer of Doug hasn't quite got underway yet, but it's not too late. That's what I dubbed my golf game getting better this summer. And in fact, technically, it's gotten worse.
How'd it go on that one hole that you're elevated the tee at Arthur Hills?
Parred it. The par 5, 13th. Nice. Where you tee off from the top of the world.
Was it a Doug Karsh par or a legitimate par?
It was a legitimate par. A Doug Karsh par, just so people know, is I try to play bogey golf. So most courses 72. I find it good for my mental health to go through the course. And at the beginning of the round, I literally take my pencil, rub out all the par threes and make them a par four. All the par fours become a par five. All the par fives become a par six. Then I'm trying to shoot 90. And so I'm one under, I'm one over, I'm two over. You know, that it's good for my mental health to think of it that way. I also find I do less hero shots. You know, if I'm in the woods, sure, I can just punch it out, or I can try and put it between those five trees because I can see the flag stick. And if I put the ball back in my stance and hit a low screamer,
yeah, just, you know,
at approximately 32 degrees, I should be perfect.
Ease up on the backswing.
You know what I stopped saying? Maybe I can shape this one. Like, I stopped trying to do stuff like that. I just punch it out in the middle of the fairway and play the par five as a par six. It changes my attitude. I play smarter golf. In theory, didn't exactly go as planned. It was going well, and then it all fell apart. It unravels so quickly.
Were there storms up north?
Not really. It rained overnight, and I heard about the storms. We did have a power outage, but it had nothing to do with a storm, which led to a whole other story that I'll get into at some point this
week. Interesting.
Yeah, because power outages make you do things, and sometimes you do stupid things, and I did something really stupid. But love it up there. Petoskey, Bay Harbor, that area. Got over to Hidden River. Not for golf, though. They got a new restaurant. Really fancy.
At the clubhouse?
Yeah.
Fancy.
I was surprised. Really upgraded.
I've been there for dinner before. Not just like, getting a snack at the Turner or something to eat after the round. I mean, I've been there for a dinner, and it was fantastic. And that was like 20 years ago.
It's a great view.
Pretty good.
They overlooked a little stream there, which occasionally there's fly fishermen, although I haven't seen one in a while. And you can see the green at 9, which is a par 3, but met a lot of listeners. One of them, Kevin at Galliana's, texts us all the time. Kevin, it was good to meet you. Drew, Michael, I shouldn't start doing this because I'm going to forget some people, but I had a really, really good time.
You know, in a situation like that where I'm forgetting all the people, I just start making up a bunch of names.
Right.
So
Kent, good to meet you, Kent.
Good to see Kent and Max.
Yeah.
Lionel, great to see you. but if you go with like a list of like 10 names, and then the person who's listening is waiting to hear for it, either they A, forget if they heard their name, or like, wow, that's a lot of people. You couldn't possibly, I would understand if you didn't remember.
Yes. Anyway,
sounds like a good weekend.
I got to start writing names down, do a better job with that. But yes, good time. Good time. Saw fireworks, the Petoskey and Harbor Springs. Went to Petoskey on Jansen's advice, went to the Petoskey State Park, where you could see both Harbor Springs to the right and Petoskey to the left. Now it was weird because we were sitting like 6 miles away from both of them. So they weren't quite as, a fireworks show can be sensory overload between the noise. And but when you're right there. We were not right there, but it was cool to see two shows at once. So
that's good.
Yep. How was your weekend?
It was fine. Yeah. Storms came through Friday. I just started telling Costa that I had a tree limb that came down from one of my big trees in the backyard. No, it's a little alarming. I mean, no damage other than the tree coming down, the limb coming down. But now I have to start thinking, wait a minute, is that tree a problem now? But then again, the branch that came down had growing leaves on it, so it looked like it was reasonably healthy. So I have to take care of that at some point this week. But yeah, it was fine. It was kind of quiet, a little low key. Went out for a nice walk one day and, enjoyed watching, the Tigers and World Cup and talked a lot of World Cup on Thursday.
Yeah.
And
did you actually say you'd rather go to the World Cup final with Team USA than a Lions Super Bowl?
I did. And my reasoning was, I mean, of course both could be a once in a lifetime experience. But my reasoning was that football to me is a sport that I don't need to be at live to really enjoy it. I love watching football in the confines of my own home, mm-hmm. With either just by myself or the small group of people. I enjoy that because I get locked into it. And at a Super Bowl, we've been fortunate enough to go to Super Bowls, and they're great to go to. They're a lot of fun. But if my team's playing, I really want to be locked in. I don't want to miss anything because I'm standing in line at a concession stand or because I have to go to the bathroom and, you know, all these other things that can be distractions. That's the way I feel about football. So with soccer, it's the whole nation getting behind it. With football, it's just you got people behind your own team, but it's not like everyone's rooting for you. It's just I think it's different when it comes to World Cup, and that's the kind of conclusion that I drew. And I had no idea the kind of vitriol that I was going to get from people that were like, are you nuts? And when I put it out there as a Twitter poll question,
yeah,
there was some venom being spewed there. People did not like that question. They thought it was stupid for the most part, which I just found hysterical. And apparently somebody else put out a very similar question a couple hours later. But regardless, the vote came in. I think it ended up being like 87 to 13 in favor of wanting to see the Lions, which I totally get. And I figured it was going to be high anyway because more people are Lions fans than are Team USA soccer fans. But I wondered if anybody had started to just get a different feeling about the soccer, feeling a little bit more patriotic or it's not even patriotic. It's just, you know, seeing your team that is perennially an underdog in this sport, they're now kind of rising up a little bit here. I have no idea if they're going to win tonight against Belgium. No idea. I couldn't tell you the first thing about Belgium. I don't know if they have like four or five different genres on their team. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. But I know that I watch. And I know that, you know, this whole Balogun situation is really interesting. You know, got a lot of action last week. And then obviously things changed yesterday when word came out that the suspension had been lifted. And now there's still appeals going on and stuff. So, you know, kind of like a believe it when I see it if he's going to play. But seems like he's going to play.
Well, it is yet to be determined because there is another appeal going on this morning. And that's a little bit to this whole story is it's kind of turned into an international mess. And it's, I think, because of terrible leadership by FIFA. But there are other things at play here that I want to talk about a little bit with you and the audience, because whoever imagined that the United States would find itself embroiled in an international soccer mess? But here we sit today. that is the case. And a story that's still the outcome, we don't know. We don't know because, indeed, there was an underreported appeal that Belgium had to file by 5 a.m. today, Pacific time, so 8 a.m. our time. And that may or may not get resolved before tonight's game. But 248-539-9797. Mondays, of course, mean Champ and Chump, so get your votes in for Champ and Chump of the weekend. Who had the best weekend? Who do you think should be singled out for that honor of the 97-1 Carson Anderson Champ of the Weekend, which is a highly respected award that many people have come to tears when they've won it. And who gets the Chump for having the worst weekend? Also, it has brought tears from Chump winners, I'm sure. 248-539-9797. Get your Champ and Chump votes in. We'll start knocking down your phone calls, and we'll get to our Champ and Chump today at 10:35 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Hey, if you're injured, you know what to do. Call Sam. Everyone knows the Sam Bernstein Law. They'll fight for you. seeing the results family gets, and you don't pay anything unless they win for you. Get the Bernstein Advantage today at 1-800-CALL-SAM. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1, open lines, 248-539-9797. Tigers take 2 of 3 from Texas. Kevin Durant rumors swirling about the Pistons. Dylan Larkin, more reporting today. As it feels as though the price for Larkin, all it does is go up. We got the United States in the middle of a full-fledged soccer controversy and a big game tonight and Champ and Chump on this Monday. So lots to get into, and whatever is most intriguing to you, we'd like to know at 248-539-9797. It's how the show operates. And let's get to your phone calls. We go to Jake on 97.1. Hello, Jake.
Good morning. Good morning. I missed listening to you guys for 2 weeks. I was up north in Ontario working, so I couldn't catch you guys. But
Hold on. Now I'm curious. Where up north in Ontario?
I was in Sudbury.
Sudbury. And what were you doing in Sudbury?
I'm a civil engineer, so I was working out there. Nice weather, lots of bears, couple moose.
I saw some bears. Nice.
Moose.
For the first time in my entire life, that's the first time I've seen a bear.
Did you freak out? Because it would freak me the hell out. I would love to see one, but not really that close.
Well, the first time I was at Walmart, and I was driving around the back, and there was a bear and a cub, and the mama bear was going through the garbage behind the Walmart. I took off immediately.
Yeah. Good choice.
But I have a champ and chump. I'll start with the chump.
Yep.
It's going to be Brazil. Losing to Norway. I mean, they were a highly touted team going into the FIFA tournament, and they just looked god-awful against Norway. And then the champ, in honor of our boy Kenny, has to be Joey Chestnut winning the hot dog. Yeah. So there's my champ and chump for you guys.
Nice.
Yep. Awesome hearing you guys. Missed you guys.
Well, glad to hear you guys again. Glad you're back.
Thanks, Jake.
And with a story to tell, a moose and a bear, or a couple of bears. But Joey Chestnut. Any thoughts?
I tuned in on Saturday. I wasn't expecting it. I just happened to be watching TV at that time and flipping around channels and realized, oh, wait a minute. Oh, this is on. I don't know if I was watching a replay of it or not, but it's tough. It's a tough watch for me.
Why?
Because they don't appreciate the hot dog, Doug. They're just shoving it in as much as they can. It's also gross. The thought of a hot dog bun soaked in water is so disgusting to me. And then the sheer gluttony of the thing. I mean, is it impressive what they're able to do? Yeah, it's impressive, but it's nothing I ever want to accomplish. And what do you have, 66 hot dogs and buns?
I'm really
nuts.
I'm really surprised at your take on this.
Well, when I give the reasoning, I don't think you should be. You know, I love a hot dog, but it's like these guys aren't tasting the dog. They're not dressing up. There's no mustard. There's no onions.
Well, I'm trying to figure out an equivalency here. Like, it feels like being mad at a football player for spiking the football because it doesn't show enough respect for the actual ball.
I'm not mad. I just don't have the love for the sport that people might think I should.
Okay.
I'm not mad. I am turned off by seeing, you know, bits of hot dog spittle and whatever else in that.
Where's the respect for the dog? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah. Kind of.
Okay.
You know, it's a delicious little item there. And, you know, when you end up having 50 to 60 to 70 of those things in a 10-minute period or 15-minute period, whatever it is, yikes.
I'm surprised. You know what the funny thing is? I don't think you or I have ever worked a July 4th together.
No.
And part of the staples of a July 4th show is typically, this year it was on a Saturday, but typically in the middle of our air shift, we get the hot dog eating contest.
Yeah.
I feel like I've worked 15 of these things.
Right?
And so I've never really gotten your take on this. There's not a lot of new ground that we break after 19-ish years.
No, there is not. And actually, I disclosed something to the audience on Thursday's show.
Yeah.
I said in Kang, I feel bad about this, but I just deleted the email that came from the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship for a credential. I got sent an email for a credential request.
That is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
I don't know why I did.
I can think of if they did any amount of scouting on the midday show in Detroit, maybe that explains a lot why you got sent one and I did not.
It could.
But I did not get sent a credential request. Would you want to be credentialed for this event?
Well, that's why I sent you the question when I sent you the text. I don't think so. This doesn't sound like I don't want to be anywhere near these athletes while they're putting down the dogs because I don't want to be in range of any sort of reversal of fortune, as they say. Plus, it just I am disgusted by the whole gluttony part of it, man. I can laugh at it, but I can be disgusted by it at the same time. It's gross. But, you know, it is also, it's something that represents the 4th of July now. It has been a staple totally for like right. 40 like, years.
It is crazy that this is like 4th of July's big ticket sporting event in the middle of the day.
The part that I would want to be there live for are the introductions. That guy who dresses up in that ridiculous, you know, the state fair hat.
Carnival barker?
Yeah, that guy. He is so amazing at his job and what he does. I don't know if he spends all year writing these introductions down or what, but it is sheer talent coming through. And I am wildly impressed by that guy. He's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It feels like this event is pulling you in two different directions.
Kind of is.
Let's go to David in Brighton. You're next. Hello, David.
Hey, buddy. So I'm calling for Champ and Chump.
Yep.
Okay, Champ McGonigal. First All-Star, he's phenomenal. McGonigal, Champ. Chump goes to FIFA. He should never have a red card. You know, he got it. It should have been a yellow. You know, here's a warning. Now you're kicked out of the game. We could have lost that game, him being kicked out of that game. I think that's big enough punishment there should be. You know, wouldn't you agree?
Well, it depends. David, are you a big soccer fan or are you just tuning in for the World Cup?
No, I love soccer.
Okay. Because I was going to say, as somebody who only tunes in for the World Cup, I feel like my opinion is completely invalid on all this. Because why should I have any say in something that's going on with their rules? And do I think it's over punitive? 100% I do. But it's their sport. It's not mine. So if they've been playing by these rules forever, and this has always been the case, that you know you would get a red card for something like this, by whether it's accidental or not, if you step on somebody like that, then you're going to get red carded. I don't know. I feel like I can't even talk about it.
I think we here do our best, and by we here, I mean you and I do our best to understand and to convey what we think are legitimate opinions and thoughts on sports that we can back up. We have a little caveat of something we every once in a while we throw out there. We call it a hunch. And we by definition, a hunch is something that you really don't need to defend. Almost every other position that you and I take on the air, I think we try to be able to defend it against an argument of why that position is valid. When it comes to the sport of soccer, let's be clear. This sport and this World Cup event, we are culturally unaware. And soccer at many levels, certainly the World Cup level, we are figuratively and quite literally, it is foreign to us. And not all of us. I think there are probably some Americans out there that are well-versed in this sport and can argue that red card, okay, up against the thousands of other red cards that they have seen and judged throughout the years.
Or plays that weren't called with a red card.
Yep.
Like everybody was pointing out a Lionel Messi play that could have been a red card that wasn't.
And yet most of us are giving our opinions based on minimal experience and almost no cultural awareness. Like I think the idea that the red card is overly punitive is our first thought. And yet it, you know, this is not our thing, right?
That's why I'm trying to take myself out of the equation.
Yep. And so we've kind of stopped parachuting in and giving super strong opinions. On the world stage, our opinion should have almost zero currency on the world stage relative to others. Yet there's so much of this story of why it shouldn't be, which starts to me with mismanagement and some terrible reporting. And we'll get to it with Champ and Chump. We'll have our nominations coming up today at 10:35. 248-539-9797. Chris in Livonia says, Champ Tiger All-Stars, well-deserved. Chump DTE. Look, I would hope he doesn't mean the workers out there.
I would hope not. Yeah, because they're out there busting their ass. And, obviously they were anticipating there was going to be a problem with the storms that came through. And, you know, it's just tough to deal with. But if you've been without power for 3 days, I get it.
Yep. Chump, the realtor that bought the house next door to me, whose trees keep falling on my house and yard and won't pay for the repairs. Chant my wife for preventing me from hurting the realtor. Wow. Okay.
Well, no violence. Let's not do that.
Champ Kevin McGonigal for being named for the All-Star. Kid's incredible. Chump, it's got to be Belgium fans crying about the suspension reversal. Well, again.
Were American fans crying about the suspension?
And I mean, unless this person has deep soccer knowledge and goes way back, you sure? Like, I'm going to guess Belgium fans probably know more about and have more precedent in history than we do.
I mean, the fact that this has only happened one other time in the history of the World Cup, and it was 64 or 66 years ago, whenever it was.
There have been some reversals, but they aren't reported as much.
Well, I thought that was the red card reversal. I thought it had been 60-something years.
There's stuff that's happened in qualifying, where guys have been red carded in qualifying, and it was supposed to carry over to the World Cup, and they reversed it then. So it's a nuance.
But this is an actual tournament part.
This has happened, but it's supposed to carry over into the World Cup. When you get a red cup in the final game of qualifying, red car, sorry, in the final game of qualifying, but they've reversed those too. But Champ Riley Green for, among other things, making an amazing diving crowd. Chump Neymar for attempting to taunt the Norwegian goalie after getting a garbage time PK while getting eliminated. Champ the three Tiger All-Stars. Chump the Detroit Free Press for not recognizing Riley Green. The Detroit Free Press for not recognizing Riley Green. What's that about? I don't know what I miss. Do you know what that is?
I don't know.
248-539-9797. We'll get to our Champ and Chump nominations today at 10:35 here on Carson Anderson, 97.1. By the way, a couple of early votes for Kevin McGonigal for Champ of the Weekend. We don't talk enough about how good this kid is.
We don't?
No, we don't.
Okay.
I think we should talk more about how damn good he is. This kid's having an unbelievable rookie season. An unbelievable. And whether even if we're talking about it a lot, it's still not enough. He is having such an incredible season. How many guys in half a year has won you over to the point where he steps to the plate? You expect him to come through. How about the idea that almost looks laughable in retrospect? Sure, he can hit, but can he play the field?
Yeah, apparently he's got that down.
Mm-hmm.
That was some nice plays we've seen.
And he's just getting started. Just getting started. So,
you know what it does? He ruins it for every other rookie that's going to come by on his team. He ruins it. He's ruining it for Max Clark.
Right.
You're setting a standard where, as a rookie, you hit the ground running like he has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, next year when we get after spring training and Max Clark is named to this Detroit Tigers roster, I mean, we're all expecting the same thing. Yeah, that's right. Hit 280 with an on-base percentage around 400 and play really well in the field, and let's go.
Yep.
Have an OPS over 800. It's unfair. And he's been so freaking good. 817 OPS, a 395 on-base percentage. His OPS is going to go up as he gets more mature at the plate and feels more comfortable when he starts, you know, hitting the ball out of the ballpark with regularity. He's got 7 home runs this year, but, you know, it looks like he's got that swing that could get you more than that. Might be a 20 home run guy, and then start hitting in the gaps for more doubles. Like, the power numbers are going to get better as he gets older, but it's already fantastic where he's at. That 395 on base percentage is sick. 57 walks to 52 strikeouts. That's amazing. More walks than strikeouts, and we're past the halfway mark. He's been phenomenal for this team, and he's not the only one. They've had all three All-Stars. The three guys that made the All-Star team are so deserving, and I'm glad that they got that recognition.
Three Tiger hitters.
Right?
Let's go back to the beginning of the season. If I told you that, where do you think this team would be?
If you'd be first place in the division.
This team has defied logic in so many ways, and it is one of the more mysterious Detroit sports seasons I can remember. They have some characteristics that look like they should be an elite team. Three position players on the All-Star team. Starting pitching's been dominant. Hell, they probably won yesterday because their defense was better than Texas's. Texas had pass balls, catcher's interference that helped lead to runs. You got Riley Green and Kevin McGonigal laying out, pulling hits away from Texas. Like, they won yesterday. One of the nuances of yesterday's game was their defense outplaying Texas's defense. And yet here we sit with a team that probably should sell. 248-539-9797. Mike in Richmond. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, are you there?
Mikey.
We'll check back with Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Let's go to Anton in Farmington Hills. You're next. Hello, Anton.
Gentlemen, good morning. How you doing?
What's
all right?
Good. My biggest problem with what's going on with the World Cup is I think VAR has gotten out of control. VAR is almost replacing the referee in its entirety. The fact that a penalty that wasn't even called a penalty on the field itself at the next stoppage of time has the ability to go back, taking a look, and giving a straight red is beyond me. I understand if it's called a yellow.
Anton, we lost you. You understand if it was called a yellow? Anton, we lost you. You understand if it was called a yellow, then what'd you say?
Yeah, I understand if the penalty on the field is called a yellow, and they go back and they check the severity of it, and then they upgrade it to a red card, that's fine with me. No different than a flagrant foul in the NBA. You know, they check for it if there's, you know, it's egregious, if it could be controlled or whatever, and then they upgrade it, I get it. But the fact that, especially for our United States player, the fact of the matter is it went from zero to red, and then even last night, I felt like even Harry Kane's tackle for England, they were forced to give him a red, and I wouldn't be surprised if that gets taken back.
Well, everything's going to get appealed now. Everything's going to get appealed now.
And red cards have always been appealed in soccer and FIFA. And to be honest with you, I don't know the statistics, but so many of them get called back because, you know, the governing body doesn't agree. Most of the time because of the player who receives it, but the governing body doesn't agree that it should have been called a red on the field. I just feel there needs to be some kind of standards or stipulations to what VAR can look at and what it can't. No different than the NFL. Imagine if the eye in the sky in the NFL could just tell the referees that was a hold, that was a pass interference, and there's no challenges wasted, there's none of that. And we're just overseeing what the referees should be seeing in the first place.
Well, a couple things. First of all, it wasn't Harry Kane that got the red card. That was Jarrell Kwanzaa that got it, not Harry.
He's talking about last night's game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was an English player that got the red card, which was strange because when you watch in slow motion, it's a slide tackle. And he hits the ball first, and then his other leg goes a little bit high up on the shin of the player, and that's why he was kicked out because the leg went too high, which I thought, wow, that's weird because I thought growing up playing soccer, as long as you got the ball first before the body, that you were fine. But apparently that's not the case, and I don't know anything about soccer. So there's that. The comparison to the NBA, don't they do that in the NBA if they don't call it a foul, but they're like, wait a minute, there was something, maybe we should take a look at this play.
Well, they can upgrade, yes, fouls to flagrant ones and twos.
But plays that weren't even called fouls.
You could go repeal a play and say that was a foul, yes.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's the problem with replay is, and I've struggled with replay over the years because I feel like replay coming into effect, we all expect perfection. And we're still complaining about calls just as much as we did before. In which case, I'm like, just get rid of the damn thing because it feels like we're no more satisfied and games take longer. Well, but it leads to more controversy.
I don't think that there's, I mean, for me as a casual viewer,
mm-hmm.
the amount of times they go to VAR, I don't think it's egregious.
It's not bothering you?
It doesn't bother me at all. I was amazed when I was, because I was asking people on Friday, I wanted the soccer elite. I wanted those people to tell me what it is that I need to shut up about, or what I need is more importantly, that I need to learn about, and what it is they love about the sport, what they would also change about the sport. And some of the things I got in that the people were saying, like the soccer elite don't like the hydration breaks. They don't like VAR. They just want the game played straight through without any of that stuff. And I thought, well, that's interesting because what's wrong with getting some water here and there, you know? And
obviously it's code for TV commercial.
Of course it is. But they have like one per half. Yeah.
Let's get to our champ and chump nominations. My champ of the weekend is Casey Mize for another outstanding outing. Worked into the seventh. This is my crusade. Re-sign Casey Mize. Last year with the Tigers, he gave up 21 home runs. So far this year, he's given up five. He gave up his fifth last time out. Casey Mize has been outstanding, and I'm a big fan, and I want him back in the Tiger Old English D on a longer-term contract.
My champ is Riley Green, Tigers outfielder, went 6-for-13 over the weekend with a double, triple, two home runs, six RBI, a couple of gems on defense, including the one yesterday was spectacular. If you haven't seen it, and the game was on Peacock, so maybe you didn't. I mean, going to his left on a full sprint, diving up in the air and laying out to stop this line drive from going into the gap. It was a fantastic catch. All that while being named to his third straight All-Star game, becoming just the second Tiger in history to do so, right next to Al Kaline. Amazing for Riley Green.
Okay, I'm going to do something I don't do very often, but it's because I don't very often rely so much on this particular, this who I'm about to chump. I'm going to chump the media that covers soccer, okay? The reason I am is because we need you now more than ever. We need you desperately. We were told there was no mechanism for reinstatement with Balogun, which apparently wasn't true. We were told that calls don't get overturned. It hasn't happened, which now media members are citing all kinds of times that it's happened, that red cards, one has happened in the World Cup, others happened between qualifying and leading to the World Cup, that red cards have been overturned. Additionally, I mean, Belgium immediately filed their appeal this morning. Nothing is final. So Balogun may not play, but I have relied heavily on soccer media to help us learn and be able to embrace all this. And I feel like they've let us down, Scott, if we knew right away that he could appeal it, we would have just followed the appeal process. And the U.S. governing body put together an appeal, and reading from The Athletic today, it's based upon the use of still frames in VAR, which I guess they use too much or aren't supposed to use, which helped lead to this Balogun red card. So, you know, there could be grounds for it, but what I do see is the rest of the world screaming. I mean, I made sure I got coverage from around the world and got opinions from other places. Europe is not happy about this at all.
No.
And it being their sport, they're probably right on this one. But again, there was an appeals process that we were told couldn't happen, and it happened. So, I'm going to chump the soccer media.
I'm going to chump the Florida Marlins manager, Miami Marlins manager, Clayton McCullough. He pulled the starting pitcher, Eury Pérez, after he had thrown seven perfect innings on just 92 pitches. Took the ball from him, said, thanks a lot, did a great job. At the time, the Marlins led 8-0. Takes him out. Oakland scores five runs in the bottom of the eighth inning and scored three more in the bottom of the ninth inning. They ended up losing the game 9-8 because Miami scored in the top of the ninth. But you pull the guy six outs away from a perfect game. Perfect games do not happen in Major League Baseball. There are very few that have happened in Major League Baseball. He had only thrown 92 pitches and you pulled him.
Get your Champ and Chump votes in, 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump brought to you by Sarah Chevrolet Sterling Heights. There's more recent Dylan Larkin reporting. We'll get to that today at 11:30. We got your open lines and Champ and Chump votes rolling in. It is Carson Anderson on a Monday on 97.1. Seems like we're getting a lot of reaction to Flo Balogun's red card suspension that has been overturned. I guess it's technically it is exactly that. The red card is suspended. And so he is eligible to play tonight. As of now, today, Belgium is presenting its appeal. And we parachute in on these topics and do our best to get into understanding what the culture of the sport is, what the rules of the sport are, what the precedents are. And there is a precedent. This did happen before. And apparently there was a mechanism for this, but there's so many ways that to get here, FIFA had to screw up a lot, starting with the fact that the official in question that made the call had come under scrutiny before, that he had been there had been some suspicions of match fixing with him because he had been quick to the red card historically. He was giving out irregular red cards in Brazil's first division in 2023. And he had to testify and didn't get charged because I guess there was no direct evidence. But should this guy, it's a question I'm asking, should this guy have been working a World Cup game to begin with? And if his pattern was giving out irregular red cards, and then he gives out a red card, and what many people in the game, not Doug or Scott, but many people in the game say, isn't a red card, should FIFA have had this guy even working a World Cup game? And, you know, things, the optics look bad when the guy who runs FIFA makes up an award and gives it to President Trump. And it seems to be favorable ruling. And Trump, whether, you know, he's taking credit for it, or at least acknowledging that he had something to do with it.
He's taking credit for it.
There is The Athletic has a great breakdown of what happened here. And there is one of our chief soccer supporters in the United States, a guy named Scott Goodwin, who's a hedge fund manager that watched us bomb out of the Copa America and wanted to fund us getting a new coach, who's got a lot to do with raising funds and helping support U.S. soccer. He said on X regarding this decision, the media is dramatically overstating the involvement of anyone outside of USA Soccer and its legal team in this process. Because the world thinks it's favorable. We're getting favoritism here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it speaks to leadership of FIFA and leadership in general. Don't cozy up too much to anyone for the purposes of just this right here, that you will be seen as giving favorable treatment to any side. And, you know, it just, we sit here as complete and total soccer numpties and watching this for the year, through the years. Is anyone surprised that FIFA is considered corrupt? That FIFA is being, their leadership is being called under question? We don't even follow the sport, and we know that happens all the time. So, you know, the perception of there being favoritism here is probably bigger than what actually happened.
Well, I don't like it, period, if politicians get involved with sports. We've talked about it a ton over the years with Congress wanting to get involved with the NCAA, and I'm like, stay out of it. That's stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with politics. This is sports. This is different. And yes, I know lines get blurred, but I just don't want it, regardless of who's doing it. I'd prefer that just not be the case. And because this isn't my sport, I kind of want to just step aside. Okay, this is FIFA's deal. Let FIFA do what FIFA's going to do. If Team USA wants to appeal the red card, let Team USA do it. And I assume that's exactly what happened. But you're right. The perception is that there's some favoritism going on, and I don't like that aspect of it. That looks awful. Will I care tonight after watching the game? And if United States comes on top and Balogun scores a goal, I won't care, probably, because we're just on to the next thing. And yet, I feel like maybe I should. But I'm parachuting into this thing. I'm not the biggest, you know, fan of it. I'm a fan of it right now for here and now. But
it's been fun.
It has been fun. I literally, when I'm flipping through the channels yesterday and going through the channel guide to see what's coming up as I'm, you know, watching golf, the early final round of the golf tournament. And then I see, oh, wait a minute, in an hour, it's Norway and Brazil. I literally went, ooh. Like, why would I do that? Why? Because I know Brazil is this great nation of soccer that means a lot to them. But I know the big guy from Norway. I know Erling.
Mm-hmm.
Erling Haaland, he's been great. He scores every game, scores a couple goals. Okay. I might check that out a little bit. And I probably would have watched a lot of it had the Tigers not been on Peacock, because they're on Peacock, you got to get into the app, and getting in and out is a pain in the ass. I just kept basically on the Tigers. And then later on, I'm flipping through and I go, what's the game tonight? Is there a game tonight? And then I saw that it's, you know, England and Mexico in Mexico. I'm like, ooh, I did it again. Twice I went, ooh, about soccer. Yep. With games that had nothing to do with the United States. Why? I wanted to watch the game last night because it was played in Mexico. And you want to see the unbridled passion of the Mexican people and their culture and this game and all that. And I was all into it. And then they get down, you know, 2-1, and it looks like, oh, they're donezo. And then there's a penalty kick goal for England, puts them up 3-1. Like, oh, they got no shot. And you see the red cards out there. England's got to play with 10 guys for the last half hour of this thing. Mexico gets a penalty kick to make it 3-2. Wait a minute. Are we going to see something crazy? No, we didn't. But it was, nonetheless, it was a fantastic game. And I felt terrible for the Mexican people that they had to walk out of, you know, the Stadium Azteca or whatever it is, with their team losing.
This is cracking me up, because for years, we've done this show, every 4 years I bring up that I enjoy the World Cup. And I'm not an authority on the sport, but I've also not been an evangelist for it, telling people they should watch it. Are you starting to turn into an evangelist for it?
No, okay. not at all.
Just making sure, because it sounds like you're pushing it big time, and I'm impressed.
Here's the thing.
I'm excited for you.
I can't see myself getting excited about MLS. I will never see myself getting excited about Premier League or any of that. I just don't. I don't care. But when you get it, this is the Olympic. This is the 4 year effect.
Yeah, okay.
So when you have somebody that comes around every 4 years and it's nations involved with it, yeah, I want to back our team. You know, I want to get behind the nationalism about this thing with this game, because the other nations, where clearly it means more. I mean, they're going to die by this
stuff. This is why I've enjoyed it. I always say it's the rest of the world's football, both literally and figuratively. They call it football, and they treat it the way we treat football, and I appreciate the excitement for what it is. It also has a little bit of March Madness with the do-or-die games when you get into the brackets, and they mean so much. And now we're involved-ish. Like, we typically fizzle out about here. And we're playing a team that's ranked in the top 10 of the world. We're in the middle of the teens, 15, 16, somewhere like that. Belgium's in the back half of the top 10. So, you know, even with Balogun playing, if indeed Belgium is appealing it, they may win their appeal today, which would be more FIFA. Because if they have grounds to appeal and win on, then FIFA will have overturned something, which Belgium then presented a case that they have to re-overturn it, and it'd just be a gong show. But at this point, when it comes to FIFA's leadership, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. But at the end of the day here, Scott, your enjoyment of this has been fun to watch. And I think there are people that are getting into it. And I've said all along that it is the one sport that we can actually, in some ways, have a repeat of the miracle on ice. Not as far as the political ramifications, most likely that will ever be repeated, because it was our way of life versus their way of life. But where are we in team sports? When are we ever a massive underdog? It is so rare, and here is a case where we are. And then maybe it'll capture enough people's attention that it's doing very well in the TV ratings, for what it's worth.
Oh, it's doing extraordinarily well, and I predict that tonight's game will do significantly more than the last one did. I mean, they went from, I think, 17 million viewers to 25 million viewers, with a peak of almost 32 million viewers last week for the game against Bosnia. That's a hell of a viewing. Tonight, it's going to be, I bet you it gets north of 40 million for peak viewing.
Might get
more than that. We'll see.
Yep. 248-539-9797. Monday's Mean Champ and Chump. We got people on hold. On us. Start knocking down those phone calls. There's new reporting today on Dylan Larkin and what all the other moves in the NHL might mean for our guy who's on the trade block. We'll get to that today at 11:30. Talk a little bit more Tigers, too, in the 11 o'clock hour, which we have not done much of in hour one here on Carson Anderson. Champ and Chump Monday on 97.1.